That's nice. Okay. Good evening, everyone, here from the Temple of Silence in Finland. And we've had, some variations in our program. And at least for a while, until I recover from a little of this and that, I'm going to be doing the evening programs. And if you don't get to hear them because it's like the dead of night, then please go to Makara or Harold and Joe will be putting them up on our YouTube channel, so you can study there. It's, I know that the new schedule maybe is going to throw us off a little bit, but Michael and Joe are here to back up everything and make sure that I keep my ducks in a row. And I want to welcome to Anne and Anna and Annette. Annette is, gosh, she must be in New Zealand, so that's, I don't know what hour that is. And Georgina, hi, and Joe He in Korea, and Martine, Nessa, and it says Retterdink here as a guest, so welcome to you, and Yvonne Weniger, and Zenaide. Well, maybe more will come along, but I do want to welcome you to. It's been a while since we've. excuse me, worked on the science of triangles, and we'll maybe. I think we were supposed to resume on April 7th with a morning program, but now we have something different. And an evening program, and it's June 9th. Okay. Yeah, there we go. Okay, and I assume you can hear me. Basically, what I'm doing is I'm very grateful to Starling David Hunter. He's such a profound student of the triangles, and he's compiled a lot of these references, but we will also go to the part of the book which is mostly esoteric astrology, where the references are listed, and maybe learn a little bit more. Let's see, what was our last, so we can maybe remember a little bit. The sign Leo, it says, is of paramount control in the life of the aspirant. Well, who is the aspirant? The true aspirant, all true aspirants, says Master DK, have taken the first initiation. These are very relative terms. So at the same time, one can be an aspirant, a disciple, and an initiate. It's just a question of orientation toward what point of tension. So many students of Master DK who stick with it, the majority of those students, being true aspirants, have taken the first initiation or are on the very verge of doing so. And Leo, of course, is a sign which has a tremendous connection with the first initiation, but also with the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth in different ways. I won't get into that because it's not so much about the triangles as it is about the role of Leo. Anyway, and may it be true of ourselves, he has to know himself through true self-awareness before he can know that divine spirit, which is his true self, and that I would say is the monad, and know also, just as the Christ does, his fellow men. It is said of the Christ that he knew or knows what is in men, what is in the human being. The boundaries have just dissolved away because of his tremendous power of identification. Oh, and by the way, a lot of you, I think, attended our virtual conference number 2. And I think, Michael, it is so that you've done quite a bit of editing on the programs, and now they are, some of them, available in more singular fashion. Is that correct?
Yeah, most of them are, like, the entire astrology, rayology, all the workshops, and the ceremonial are up, and the main conference is up.
Okay.
Soon. Yeah. It's been edited. I just am uploading and fixing it on the page.
There's so much to learn from our overstuffed, overfilled conference of some 13 days. But as long as we have the opportunity to get together in this way and don't have to spend so much money to travel and hotel and all the rest, we might as well take advantage of the many excellent things that have been said and the direction in which we have been oriented to learn more and more about the ageless wisdom. Now, what Starling has here, he says, there's a triangle here, and he refers to it as the three persons of the Divine Trinity, and I'm sure you can figure out which is which. Aries, the father, Leo, the child, oftentimes referred to as the son, but we might have here son or daughter, it makes no difference, the child, and Virgo, the mother. So he says, Aries is the focal point of expression for the first aspect of divinity, the will aspect. And at at this time, more of that energy of the will, the first ray, pours through Aries than any other sign. Now, next, Leo is the focal point for the expression of the second aspect. And, you know, Leo is connected with the heart, which has both a second and first aspect meaning. But if you're going to divide the fire signs into three, it's obvious that Leo represents the central position. And there's more to it, of course. Master DK's knowledge is quite deep and extensive and detailed and inclusive. Okay. So he says that this is the case primarily where humanity is concerned. Interestingly, then, that's two of the first ray signs so far, Aries and Leo, but in this case, representing the so-called father and the son. and you'll find father and son. You'll find them on the logoic plane, the very highest cosmic subplane of the cosmic physical plane. Virgo is the focal point for the expression of the third aspect, just as it was in the previous solar system. The previous solar system was a major system developing intelligence, and the first part of that solar system was ruled by the sign Cancer, which has plenty of the third aspect. But the second part of that solar system was ruled by Virgo. Now, we're not exactly sure what rays Virgo principally transmitted in the second half of the last major solar system. Right now, well, look, the signs, the constellations, they have all the rays. But it's a question of what is particularly impactful from these constellational sign energies with regard to any particular solar system. And right now, it's the second and sixth ray, even though if we look backward, the foundation of Virgo, I feel, has very much the third and seventh rays. But anyway, active intelligence is represented by Virgo. And one of the mantras for Virgo gives us the hint. It is not exactly an evolutionary mantra. It is a sort of a mantra which represents the status quo and not too much progress. Let matter reign. So in that sign, the highest function of matter is symbolized. What is the highest function of matter? Perhaps to be built into a form in line with the great divine plan, because the second ray is the form building aspect of divinity, and seventh ray to a certain extent. And the third ray rules the matter that is built into the form. So we have to see if there's anything further that the Tibetan has said here. And I think not. Although, you know, you don't have to only look in that chapter about the triangles to discover many references to triangles. And you and I, we have to begin thinking in terms of triangles, the kinds of triangles that are being activated in our life at this time. Now, what we're all aiming for, at least a temporary goal, is to have the great head center, the Ajna and the Alta Major at the base of the skull, all activated at the same time and transmitting energy within itself so that a significant healing triangle, also related to the third degree, can occur. Now we may wonder, why isn't Sagittarius here? Sagittarius would be the third fire sign, and indeed it is, compared to the other two, associated with matter. But we will be bringing up that triangle of Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius. Now, we're looking at things in the abstract and in general. But if within your astrological chart, you find these indicators in various places, they are really to be noted. Now, I would say that in terms of this particular triangle, those of us who are keen and avid students of Master Decay will be working in the Leo area, particularly. It's not yet the monadic area. I mean, we may have that in our chart. We may have Aries in our chart. We may have Virgo in our chart. But particularly, our focus is upon establishing the love wisdom aspect. So all of these triangles, you know, are called triangles in rotation. And at different phases of human life, one or other of the vertices of the triangle is in the superior position, regardless of whether other aspects of the triangle are present or not. So, you know, in my own case, I can say, look, I've got a lot of Aries, but that doesn't mean that somehow I have fulfilled the love wisdom curriculum, which at my point would be the thing to do, because it's the right relation to the soul, to the angel of the presence, to the master, to the extension of the monad on the higher mental plane. That's what I have to come in touch with, whether or not there are is Aries. It's a bit like people, you know, when they have Scorpio rising, because they know that Scorpio is a fourth ray sign, and that the rising sign points to the soul, they mistakenly say, oh, I have a fourth ray soul. That would be a gross oversimplification. And what I would advise, you know, as we go along, just keep a parallel Word document, and you can toggle between it and the other things you want to look at, and write down any particular note or subject which you would like to take up. Because in all of this welter of detailed information, by the time we get to the point where we say, well, has anybody got any questions or thoughts? So much water has passed over the dam or under the bridge that we just don't remember, unless we take notes as we go along. I'm always surprised when I read and reread Master Decay that something I read before appears in a new light. And rather than just gloss over it and forget it, it becomes implanted in my consciousness. And that is some of what we want to achieve, that implantation. Now, we're not going to, I mean, I've just been working with Master DK's writings, and I'm working in the Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 2. By the way, 12 programs there are now done, and you can access them on Makara, I said, or on our YouTube channel. I'm just amazed at the structure that Master DK has given in his presentations of how an aspirant, a disciple, even an initiate must proceed. I guess there's good reason for the hierarchy to be called the Society of Organized and Illumined Minds. Master DK's mental organization is superb. And of course, he doesn't expect the same of us, nor does he expect that we can range over the entirety of his teaching and somehow be accountable for everything that he has said. But for some things, we can be accountable. Okay, now, you know, here Starling has put things down in a very condensed manner. And now we have Aries, Leo, Sagittarius. And it's related to the gradual purification of the entire nature and the fires of God. Yeah, on two pages, 288 and 293. And basically, it's pretty obvious to all of us that Aries carries the cosmic note, Leo the solar note, and Sagittarius, even from the way Sagittarians tend to regard our planet, tends to carry the note of the planetary scheme. So if we were to go to, just trying to get this correct, is it 288 in this wonderful book?
Yes, it is.
Oh my God, there's the 288, but it's coming up. It's coming up a little different, a little differently. Sometimes you get a secret doctrine reference, you know. So there are two references. Okay. So first then, page 288, and maybe it'll tell us something about the gradual purification. Well, you know, fire is that which purifies. And there's a wonderful reference to what fire is. I may have repeated it before, but it's in the Rays and the Initiations, and it's around page, 82, somewhere right in there. And if I go a little higher, Rays and Initiations and fire. Ah, there it is. Since I underlined it, or, you know, did what I could do with it, and I'll show it to you. What it says, and it's a good place to remember, it's the end of page 82. So, fire is the sum total of that which destroys form. It's opposite the second ray in a certain manner, especially the more shambolic aspect of fire. It's the sum total of that which destroys form, produces complete purity in that which is not itself, and generates the warmth which lies behind all growth and is vitality itself. There's kind of a 1, 2, 3 given there. The first aspect of fire definitely destroys form. when you look at what comes out of Shambhala, the three qualities particularly, they are destruction, ray one, purification, ray two, and organization, ray three. And this last little bit is about holding the form together. It's behind all growth and it's behind integration. And is, fire is, vitality itself. So a really good one to ponder on page 82 regarding fire. You know, someday, as you probably know, and somewhere, all of the AAB extracts that I've made, and there are just thousands, can be found available for us. And it's good sometime to go through those little references. Some of them are little anyway, because it really reminds you about how to study topically, which DK advises. It's kind of a vertical method of studying rather than something that is more horizontal. Really, both are needed and they give a different point of view. But I'm often amazed when I take just a little opportunity to go through the AAB extracts, which I think BL has put up somewhere on Makara. Joe, maybe you might know, you know, where that might be found.
Yes, I do. You have to go way to the bottom of the homepage, because when you click the link, it begins the download in a zip file of all of the files. So it's quite large. It'll come in a zip file, but it's on the main page of Makara right at the bottom.
Fantastic. Well, I think you'll benefit from that, folks. You know, it's taken me years and years to compile those points of view from the Tibetan. And of course, one is not ever completed with something of that nature. I'm not completed, and I never will be. But it gets things together in a topical manner so that you can really see many points of view regarding the same subject under your eye at the same time. I would recommend it and just follow Joe's instructions. Now, I know we're somewhere here. Right. We're on page 288, and I will, there it is. And let's just see if he says anything additional. So, well, he begins with Pisces a little bit, the three water signs, which used to be the triangle that would be particularly important in taking the second initiation. But times have changed. And now a more fiery experience is offered to the disciple, and a strong sense of Dharma and the impulsion to go forth and to carry the good news. I mean, it sounds like an old way of looking at things, you know. Go tell people the good news, that Christ has come and you're saved if you believe in him and so forth. But in a much more sophisticated and esoteric manner, there is good news. And so many people stuck in their glamours and in their crustified, rigidified illusions need to hear this good news about the ageless wisdom. You have to love the ageless wisdom. You have to believe in it because you've proven it for yourself. And then more and more people will be able to receive it from you. And when HPB said that occultism, well, I'm not going to make the exact quote, but occultism must win the day by the end of the 21st century, which is our century now, that is a tall order, which means it must be much more widely accepted. And that probably means that humanity has to get into plenty of trouble, which is already indicated, before it realizes that there are those, or will be those, in the five major planetary centers who are so trustworthy and so benevolent and so practical and so intelligent and so loving that they, and sacrificial, that they have the answer to these problems. And then more and more people will examine what is the ageless wisdom. So, Pisces, it's all about the waters of purification. And the fish, it's applied to the fish swimming in the waters of matter. That's all of us who are emanations. As emanations, we swim in the waters of matter. So this is upon the mutable cross and ordinary material existence and experience, with which I would say we are, well, completely dissatisfied, having reached our point of experience. We no longer want the ordinary, which leads only very gradually to a more spiritual state. We want the path of initiation, which every true disciple and aspirant is preparing for. Thus, the influence of the three crosses is brought to bear upon the incarnated Son of God, upon the ordinary wheel of ordinary life, and in the usual order. Well, there's much about the signs which applies to the ordinary man, but we're looking for life upon a higher turn of the spiral. Upon the wheel reversed, which is a reversal of energy currents within your body, that's really what it means. Fire takes the place of water and burns away all dross. Purification of the entire nature is thus achieved gradually, and man becomes sensitive to the influences which can be brought to bear upon him when the fiery triplicity plays its part, and the influence of Aries, Leo, Sagittarius, which is very much like spirit, soul, and body, begins to reorient him towards universality, self-consciousness, and one-pointed attitudes. It's pretty obvious here again, which is which. Obviously, universality is Aries. Self-consciousness is Leo. And one-pointed attitudes, so necessary for the true disciple, is in the realm of Sagittarius. Now, of course, all of these signs have their liabilities, and they can be used in a not especially spiritually productive way on the ordinary wheel, turning from turning in a clockwise manner. As we go on with our study, the significance of this statement will increasingly appear. And you can ask yourself, well, let me go on just a little more to enlarge upon this little point that Starling has collected for us. I'm hinting at matters of spiritual and esoteric importance, he says, because this sign Leo is of paramount control in the life of the aspirant. And by the aspirant, we even do mean the initiate of the first degree and beyond. He has to know himself through true self-awareness, and we quoted this before he can know that divine spirit, which is his true self, and know also, what shall we say, the divine spirit of his fellow men, spirit to spirit, and discovering that there is but one spirit. So you ask yourself, you know, you pause and you say, okay, let's start from closer to home. To what extent is my attitude one-pointed in a positive spiritual direction? You will know. It will, you know, depend on whether you just stick with the path. And should you find yourself wandering from off the path, then you get back on it right away. To what extent is my incarnation oriented towards self-consciousness? Or have we somehow given up knowing the true self we are? So many people don't find the introspective method at all useful, and they cease to be the observer, which would make them ever more conscious of the self which they are. It's an earlier stage, of course. And to what extent is my attitude universal? Now, what does universal mean? We can only go so far. And even though the Tibetan has given us marvelous maps, he hasn't given us a map of the, really of the entire universe and all the cosmic and super cosmic and super super and on. No, we've gone about as far as we can go when we're talking about the supercosmic logos or the one about whom naught may be said. And with regard to universality, universal consciousnesses can justifiably be called the consciousness of our solar system. Well, surely we are not there yet, and neither are the masters. So we have much to do, but do we have that universal orientation? Do we think in those terms? Do we care about them? That's a question. It's one thing to attempt to be self-conscious, you know, to know the soul, to know the triad, even to know the monad that we are, the monad within, but it's another thing to orient ourselves universally. And each one of these signs provides a certain kind of fire which allows us to come to terms with some aspect of universality, self-consciousness, or the path of discipleship, one pointedly pursued. Here he goes on and talks about the Sphinx and so forth, but that's not our subject. The head of the woman, the body of the lion, it's the Leo-Virgo relationship, having to do in a way with higher mind and lower mind, as we have been taught. There is so much regarding the mysteries which have yet to be conferred upon us. And we stand, people like yourself, myself, we stand at the threshold of these deeper mysteries, not the lesser mysteries, which are just about the personality and that which has been precipitated as personality, but the deeper divine mysteries about that which must be precipitated as part of the divine plan. Can we get any kind of inkling of what the age of Aquarius can mean for us in the however many incarnations we will take during that great age and learn and learn and apply and apply? Also here, on page 293, let's see if we can find that. There's something about the triangle we're looking at. So, 293. Let's see what we have, if anything. Okay, and this is the, again, the Leo chapter. Um, Yeah, here it is. The fixed cross is the cross of light. Well, the soul is light, we have been taught. And when the soul focuses on whatever object it may be, that object comes into greater lighted relationship with other objects. The fixed cross is the cross of light, and playing through this cross all the time and emanating from Leo are the fires of God. Cosmic fire is all about the fires of God, isn't it? And the book that he tells us evades understanding, except to the initiate consciousness. Cosmic, solar, and planetary. Producing what? Purification, intensification of the light, which of course is intensification of the soul presence in our lives, with us more and more identified as soul, and eventual revelation to the purified man who stands in light. We are we not, friends, standing at the threshold of these possible revelations. And we must never forget that we, just like every other disciple, will have to journey through these processes. Many of us are chelas in the light right now, awaiting that decisive moment when we can become the truly accepted disciple. For various reasons, we can prepare ourselves. And then a whole new regime of usefulness takes over. From Aries comes cosmic fire. So I guess if DK has a book called A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, the impulse of Aries was very strong in the preparation of that book. From Sagittarius comes planetary fire. The will, the impulse to explore the planet and all the different emanations and forms of life, ever widening our boundary of planetary knowledge. And from Leo comes solar fire. Well, we expect this, right? And each of these fires, now think about this phrase, each of these fires clears the way by burning for the expression of the three divine aspects, spirit Aries, soul Leo, and body Sagittarius. So every one of those three aspects of divinity will be in better shape, more able to fulfill a kind of destiny at a certain point of tension once the fire has burned. And when you look at your own astrological chart, you have to say, look, am I on the burning ground? Yes or no? What would it take for me to step onto the burning ground? What particular burning ground is it? Into what will it liberate me? See, the whole thing is about amazing potentials which lie immediately ahead because of the agency of fire. So such is the scientific basis of the yoga of fire. Now that's Agni Yoga, the first ray aspect of Agni Yoga, we've been told, is under the teaching of Master Maurya. The second ray aspect of Agni Yoga is presented to us by the Tibetan. Basically, we have a ray one and a ray two presentation, an Aries Leo presentation. Had we been aware that in some way that probably is not so easy to detect, that the Tibetan has been informing us of a secondary approach to Agni Yoga. Anyway, behind the Agni Yoga lies the three fire signs. Such is the scientific basis for the yoga of fire applied by the fully self-conscious man, I guess Leo is involved, to the reflection of the three divine aspects in the three worlds, that is, through the personality. These are the three modes of divine expression in these three worlds. Such is the significance of the fact that it will be found that before the door of initiation lies the burning ground, which all disciples and initiates must tread. Are you treading now a burning ground? The final burning ground, of course, is also ruled by Leo, and it's probably leading to the fifth initiation. The Leo subject treads this burning ground with will and self-effacement. The will comes from the first ray aspect of it, and the self-effacement from the second ray. When he has reached full self-consciousness and mental integration, because Leo is definitely connected with the mental factors, bringing in also Ray 5, and when he has attained personality effectiveness, then he treads the burning ground, it undeterred by pain. Kind of reminds you of some of the last days of Alice Bailey in her previous incarnation, which we have been learning about. And she had very many medical problems. But she was determined to go ahead no matter what, undeterred by pain, all those blood transfusions and, it had to have been hell. But she was a first ray personality with, from all, I think the best horoscopery, Leo was rising. And the powerful planet Mars was found there as well, and near the ascendant. So she had the intestinal fortitude to go forward undeterred by pain. And if you're interested in what pain can bring of goodness, just go to Esoteric Psychology, Volume 2, And near the front part of the book, I can't tell you what page it's on right now, but there is this analysis of what pain really means spiritually and how it lands the disciple in a very ideal place if one can go through the pain. Okay, I know I've taken quite a bit of time there on that second factor. And maybe just one more, perhaps. I'm not worried about going fast here, because if we take it slowly and look at all these triangles, the divine pattern, the second ray being the ray of the divine pattern, can begin to settle in to our consciousness. And the pieces will come together. Now, we can't really go into this as fully as may be possible, but we're all aware. Well, what have we seen so far? Aries, Leo, Aquarius, Aries, Leo, Virgo, the three aspects of divinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Aries, Leo, Sagittarius, the three aspects of fire, cosmic, soul, and planetary. And now, this triangle, which brings in all first ray signs. Now, that's page 423. We can't get into a nine-page section here, where he basically is going to tell us that Aries is the will to create, Leo is the will to fulfillment, and Capricorn is the will that conquers death. In that section of esoteric astrology, he's going to deal with those matters. But when looking at the constellations and therefore signs, which are the conduits of the various rays, we're going to see something quite familiar to us, I think. And this is not even the complete chart, because the hierarchical rulers are left out of it. Basically, Uranus for Aries, the sun veiling Uranus for Leo, and Venus, the planet of the soul through Capricorn. Now, we've looked at this particular collection of triangles before. And you have to look at the hierarchical rulers to get some kind of idea about why all of these signs, constellation signs, should be conveying the first ray. Well, it's Uranus. Uranus is the home of electric fire. Uranus, like the Earth, has a first ray monad. And so if Uranus is the hierarchical ruler of Aries and the veiled hierarchical ruler of Leo, then the first ray is definitely there. Now, when it comes to Capricorn, of course, Saturn is a partially first ray planet. Venus is not, and Venus is the hierarchical ruler. But Capricorn itself is carrying, it's a massive triangular constellation and is responsible for imparting the third ray to disciples. If we look into the sky at some time when it is available, it's just a huge triangle. So maybe we'll get the first ray from Saturn, because again, death is ruled by the first ray, and the will that conquers it is ruled by the first ray as well. So first ray is coming through Capricorn, at least as a constellation, and through Saturn, but not so much through Venus, which is more a planet of the love wisdom side. Okay, well, I think I'll have to examine this, whether it would be worth looking at the will to create, the will to fulfillment, and the will which conquers death. Think of it, with Cancer, there is emergence into the realm of death, because the consciousness is cut off. The higher nature of consciousness is subdued. The gate into life of those who must know death, as all of us must, because of our agreement to follow a great pilgrimage of redemption. But Capricorn is different. The will into life of those who know not death, or who know no death. It is a liberating energy, and Capricorn is found prominently placed at all the first five initiations, and who knows beyond that, perhaps as well. So that's as far as we will go today in the discussion of the triangles. And, you know, this, I can't exactly tell you when the next signs of triangles will come up. I'm not quite able to do things as frequently as I could before. But if I get to feeling, you know, a little better, I may be back able to do that. So this is program number 98. And the program 99 begins sometime. I don't know if Joe or anybody knows when it is, but I just want to call it the XX of June or July. And for the time being, it will be an evening program. I'm trying to, Dewey and I are both trying to develop a new schedule that will allow us to be most effective in covering the range of subjects that we have committed to cover. Now my screen sharing is paused, and here's what I've written. So I'm breaking the Aries, Leo, Capricorn, and I will study this 613 to 622 and see. I've already mentioned some of the kinds of will that will be encountered on these pages. The development of will is for us the great project. First, of course, we have to somehow find the ability to center ourselves in the soul. No man cometh to the Father except through me. Okay, that's the Christ and the second aspect speaking. So the way to the Father has to include the energy of the Son, the soul energy. Otherwise, we get some terrible aberrations. I don't know if you ever saw that German propaganda film made in the early 30s. It was called The Triumph of Will. It's just all first ray. And it was Lenny. Her name was Lenny. And I'm not exactly sure. Is it Reifenschneider or something like that? A very good filmmaker. And she somehow documented this great ceremonial that the Nazis had used for propaganda purpose. And it was all about will. And the love was not there. Now, that's not how the Christ wants us to approach, obviously. It's far too dangerous. And then we'll be going on, and there's quite a bit here that Starling has collected, and we'll look at Aries, Libra, and Aquarius right away. Those who know will see Uranus prominent in every place as the veiled hierarchical ruler of Aries, not veiled, but the hierarchical ruler of Aries, the esoteric ruler of Libra, and the ordinary orthodox ruler of Aquarius, but not only that, veiled by the moon, the hierarchical moon also veils Uranus and Neptune and Vulcan. So what a intricate interflow of energies we have to deal with, and how wonderfully specific the Tibetan can be about these energies. Think of it, a Tibetan master who did have two European incarnations, he tells us, and he's able to speak with such illuminative detail about these various astrological and ray energies. We have a lot to learn from him, but still we have to remember that looking for the essential, he has said, the reappearance of the Christ and the formation of the new group of world servers are the two most important points that he has to convey to us. So maybe somehow we'll get the idea as we study along and meditate deeply about what really is the most essential. And we'll keep our eyes on the most essential and progress consequently in our service. Okay, friends, so that's as far as I'm going to go right now. And if you have, I think Joe can help us here. If you have any comments, questions, thoughts related to this little bit of triangle material, or thoughts related to occultism in general, because I always like to open the door to that, just in case there are burning questions or statements to be made, then this would be the time to offer them.
Please raise your hand and we'll unmute you.
If you raise your hand, you'll be called upon to speak, because that means you want to speak. If you write it down in the chat, then we can handle it that way.
There's a question from Yvonne. Where was the information about Alice Bailey that you shared?
Well, you know, our colleague Rose Bates has been doing a lot of research on the Bailey family and Alice's, last days, you might say. And strangely, you'll see a lot of this in the conference, because Rose tends to speak about these matters at this time. And she met Alice Bailey's, was it grandson, who was, of course, at this time an old man. I think his name was Gordon. And he was responsible for sharing with Rose pictures, photographs, and some general lore about how she operated, and especially there towards the end of that incarnation. So that's not much written down in the Tibetan's books. He talks about Alice Bailey fading, you know, and withdrawing and all of that, and how Foster Bailey is supposed to take her place. That he talks about. But he doesn't get into the family. And Rose has been provided with the material, which allowed her to make some presentations at conferences, which show Alice Bailey at work, even at work when she was really low, because she has been somehow, with that first ray, she's been putting down the possibility of no longer working for the Tibetan. She just followed on through until she absolutely could no longer. And then somewhere, I cannot tell you where, but she went into the hospital for a minor operation of an unspecified nature, but it didn't, you know, sound serious, but nevertheless, her term of service was over. And was it Foster Bailey who said that when Alice passed on, her master Kutumi came for her? Now, Alice Bailey had already been very familiar with Kutumi's inner ashram, because, you know, she worked closely with him. And as I understand it, at least now, she's still working very closely with Master Kutumi. But and there's this story about what she learned, you know. She was in the ashram at night, and Master Kutumi, from the inside of his chamber, continued to play the organ. He's a musician, and the music and so forth, he continued to play. And Alice was getting restless, waiting outside. Why is this going on when I've been summoned to the ashram? Why is he making me wait? And what's this all about? And she finally realized that if even a master, it was a lesson, you know, if even a master of the wisdom could take time out to regenerate and refresh through music, then she, who was such a driven person, could learn from that experience and could conduct herself a little differently. One of the letters of Alice Bailey's keynote name was R, D-R-S, Rest. Rest was the name of that letter. Detachment, rest, and skill in action. Those were her three keynotes that she had to develop. Anyway, Master Kutumi, as she was passing, the story goes, came for her. And Rose has done an excellent job in collecting some of that family lore that this coincidental connection with her grandson made possible. I think that's all I know and maybe all I can say, but as said, if you want to check up on her talks at the last two virtual conferences, and maybe even before that, you can do that and get some idea of what she was conveying to us if for some reason you missed it. Okay. What else, Joe?
I am not seeing any other comments in the chat, and I'm not seeing any hands right now.
Okay.
Tuya is with us in the participant side, and I wondered if she was going to be promoted.
I'm not sure.
Oh, she's co-host now. Yep. There she is.
Okay. We've been having a really busy time around here.
I'm currently listening.
What did you say?
I'm fluently listening.
Okay. Well, look, friends, the Tibetan is not easy. And I wonder if there's any of us who has managed to cover the full teaching that Master DK gave. I wonder, because it's so voluminous. And then comes the question about how we will apply it. But we have to spend our time, and I encourage it, and I don't know how many of you do it, but we have to spend our time studying. Now, maybe you're going to study along with some of the videos that I've made, and that will count for study also. Or maybe you're simply going to read what the Tibetan has written. I think I've offered now externalization of the hierarchy. These are video commentaries. Letters on Occult Meditation, video. The last 100 pages of Cosmic Fire or so, video. The last half of Rays and the Initiations, video. Working now on Discipleship in the New Age, video. And in addition, and then many sections from the old commentary of Esoteric Psychology, number 2, video, plus the book, the book called The Egoic Lotus, which is quite voluminous, and it's a video, but it's taking what the Tibetan has, but not going line for line. It's a different type of approach. You can study all that. I may have left some things out, I'm not sure. Yes, Esoteric Astrology, line for line, word for word, video. And in addition to all that, a number of these books have written detailed commentaries, like the first 1,000-something pages of Cosmic Fire and the first, I forgot another video, A Treatise on White Magic, complete book, video, okay? But if it's not done in video, there are other books that are fairly meticulously laid out in a written form for study. And part of that, in the Raised Initiations, you'll find that. And you will find that also, the first part of Cosmic Fire and Initiation, Human and Solar, all written out quite meticulously in maybe a certain form, which is not as associative and spontaneous, but which is meticulously handled. There's plenty to study, friends. And I just have to emphasize that we've got about 4 years left before the Great Conclave, and the need to study at this time is profound, so that Master DK, by whatever means he chooses to do it, can begin to offer the third installment of the teaching. And of course, all the while, our meditation is going to deepen. So in a way, the new schools are schools of meditation, and meditation, in a way, comes first. It's the first ray aspect of the triplicity, including second ray study and third ray application in service. You know, the law of service, the law of the soul, is the third law. So you have plenty to keep you busy, and it's not like it's unimportant. It is important if you want to be preparing yourself for the new esoteric schools. They will be appearing in the decades and centuries ahead. And that whole big section, starting around page 299, that is written out in a meticulous fashion with written commentary from Letters on Occult Meditation, and it's all about the new esoteric schools. And there is also the video, which is different, okay? That's all I can say. And then you have the opportunity to listen to the first part of the Glamour, A World Problem series of programs, which are always a video explanation. So don't shirk the opportunity that now exists before you. And if it takes a little extra from you now, that extra will be worth it in the long run. Because really, this is a great transition into the bridging, third bridging aspect of the teaching for which we are preparing. And who knows what the great conclave will bring? We don't know. But the deeper we meditate, the more inclusively we study, and the more we manage to apply what we study, the better for everybody, ourselves and everybody we are able to help. So that's my little kind of pep talk, you know. Use these years, these 4 years, and study. Now, in addition to that, we have our ASK programs. Tuya is mostly doing the meditations on those, and with many quotations from the reappearance of the Christ and other things on money and triangles and so forth. And there's much to be learned there. So that's yet another opportunity. Plus our beginning work on Shambhala, on the right care of the animal kingdom, and on the Esoteric United Nations, how we can support that whole idea internally. And I know, Tuya, I'm forgetting something. There are a couple of other programs which you have originated and which we land on now and then and learn quite a bit. So capitalize, my friends, upon the 4 years, a little less than, remaining until WASAC 2025 and toward the new group of world servers festival in 2026. Capitalize upon the end of this period of the forerunner, in which you have the privilege of participating. Okay, anything, Joe, that has appeared or not appeared?
Just a thank you from Tia. And I have a question for you, take you back to when you were talking about the scientific basis of Agni Yoga with the first ray under Master Moria and the second ray under Master DK. Do you have a thought about a third ray approach that may be forthcoming?
I really haven't. I haven't dwelt upon it, but I would say that the application of fire to specific projects in a manner serviceable. I mean, look, how do we apply Raja Yoga? It is meant to be applied, and there are 4 different books by Patanjali, and it's largely a second ray, fifth ray presentation. But it might be that the whole magical process takes on a new and fiery presentation, and the people become very skilled in it. Because always, as you are suggesting, we have to look for the 1, 2, and 3, at least at the at the very beginning. Those are the three major aspects. So I don't think I have anything specific about it, but I'm pretty sure that it would work in the realm of targeted service, which Sagittarius is connected with. Now, curiously, Master Moria seems to have in his horoscope both Aries and Leo. Obviously, he's the great monarch. And he also says, and when you think of me, and this is called Moria Remembrance Day, this is March 24th. Think of me on March 24th. We won't know the whole reason for that, but that's solidly into the Aries energy. But the next thing has to do with the fiery sacredization of our planet. And there are so many ways that that might be pursued in a targeted, serviceable manner. I know it's a bit vague. That's probably all I can do. All I can do at the moment. It has seemed so far to be a blend of the first and second rays, but you can never leave the Holy Spirit out of it. And it may be something about intercultural communication and the way the Sagittarian energy is always searching for different approaches which humanity has made to the mysteries, you might say. It will be fiery and targeted, I think, and wielded with accuracy. That's all I better say, because I'll be wandering off into the realm of pure speculation.
Well, something that occurred to me just as you were speaking is the possibility, as you look at these correlations with Master M, the first ray, sort of response, and the Aries Leo, and then the second ray DK with Leo. And I'm wondering when the third ray and the Sagittarius is involved, if there it may relate possibly to Master R, and Sagittarius also connecting in my mind to this incoming fourth ray. So maybe this also relates to the next, what do we call it, dispensation?
And the propagation of it.
Yes.
Yeah, so that propagation. Yeah.
Occurred to me, and Sag being associated with fourth, fifth, and sixth rays. So those are just
correct. And there should be quite an attempt to spread this great teaching that Sagittarius can bring. We'll just have to see. You know, we're in the dark with how Master DK will arrange this third installment. We just know, as he says, around the year 2025, we don't know who he will use. Would he use an amanuensis? Would it be Alice Bailey? Would it be someone else altogether? He used a first ray amanuensis in HBB, and she was very historical in a certain sense. The great second ray amanuensis was Alice Bailey, and now will we have a combination of the three and the one as an amanuensis? Or will he just have a very good computer and be able to talk to himself? I don't think that is the probability, but there's that funny program called dragon, naturally speaking. Keep on thinking, Master DK should get a hold of a program called Dragon of Wisdom, naturally speaking, and handle it easier. Let's just say that it's going to be faster. I think the propagation of this particular dispensation will be more bridging into the triad and faster than the others, simply because of the technology which we now have. Just imagine, you know, in those old days, what Alice Bailey had to go through with her own special symbology, and then typing, and then correcting the typing and all that. I'm sure people whose age is that of yours and mine remember using whiteout and correctotype, and maybe slowed down by a factor of 100 compared to what we can do now. So things can speed up. We do know Sagittarius is associated with speed, even if we talk about how people drive, you know. So maybe it will be a third installment, which will be very concentrated and available for many, let's say, sooner rather than later. Anyway, we have this to look forward to. And I'm sure that for many people who are here and are working with the Tibetan now, that they will have involvement with this third installment.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Is there anything
else? Not seeing any more chat comments or hands up, so.
Hands up.
This will be posted on Makara in probably, 5-6 hours, and also will be up on YouTube. And I just like to comment to this group, if you're having difficulty finding all the references that Michael listed on YouTube, we just remember that only the video and audio references, the recordings, are on YouTube. And if you're having difficulty finding or locating anything, please don't hesitate to email us and we'll send you the playlists links.
That's great. Yeah. YouTube takes the images, you know. It doesn't, if I'm just doing something in purely written form, YouTube will not take it. But if I'm making a video of the written form, then YouTube will take it. So, you know, try to realize the opportunity which now lies before you. Because I don't think we really do realize it. And I question myself often, do I really realize what the opportunity of these closing years of the era of the forerunner can bring about what will be new? We just don't know, do we? There have been a lot of false presentations. People have a nice, active subconscious mind, and they think if they begin to write something, then it's from the master and so forth. But, you know, that kind of work is in you to begin with. You may be intelligent, you may say something of value, it's just not the master. Even Initiation Human and Solar, a little book by comparison, and yet filled with material that who but a master could provide and have it ring the bell of coherence and logic, reasonableness, and so forth. There's a lot of preposterous stuff. We're told the teachings of the ages will be shouted from the rooftops. But along with that comes a lot of the work of Bucyrus in Gemini, the false teacher, who is just making things up, basically. And it doesn't lead you anywhere. So try to have the discrimination about what really is of value, what is essential, what leads really to your spiritual unfoldment and the unfoldment of your groups. Develop that quality from the third subplane of the mental plane, spiritual discernment. And then you can get on to the other factors as well. Response to group vibration and spiritual telepathy, and so forth. For us, a lot of us, these are just words until we really begin to develop what they are. So please take seriously your opportunity and put it on the front burner, as it were. There's a lot of things one can do with 4 years and beyond, and make sure that what is done is of the most essential. And then I don't think any one of us will be sorry about it. Okay, so as Joe said, where these things will appear, and whatever our next appointment may be, we'll continue pretty much with ongoing triangles and trying to understand this great science of relationships, science of relations, which I think is one of the utmost of the sciences. And here DK presents it to us pretty much in astrological form. Till we get such a feeling for these qualities that their interplay, their merging, their blending, their results, it begins to become a reality to us, a reality. And that's different than just a lot of words. Okay, so all of us on the communications team, we send a lot of love to you and encouragement. And we keep moving forward the best we possibly can. And that will be it for today.